Welcome back to the deep dive. You know, we take your sources, we pull out all the key knowledge, and we try to build a strategy that's really tailored for you. And today, this is a big one. We are getting into the critical, and I think for a lot of people, kind of terrifying world of pricing power for U.S. small businesses.
It really is.
This isn't just some accounting headache. It is fundamentally the one decision that determines your entire company's trajectory.
I mean, we spend so much time on great products, on marketing.
Sure.
But pricing is that one lever that, when you get it right, gives you immediate substantial returns.
Right.
For an American entrepreneur, getting this right is the difference between, you know, constantly struggling for cash flow and actually building a sustainable business.
Yeah.
One that can weather a storm.
So our mission today is to cut through all that noise. We're going to extract the foundational concepts, the psychological tactics, and the strategic models that successful U.S. entrepreneurs are using right now. We want to show you how to maximize profitability, and this is crucial, how to price with confidence so you're not leaving money on the table or, you know, pricing yourself right out of the market.
And we have to set the context for the U.S. market because it's really unique. The dynamics are different.
How so?
We're talking about extremely high consumer expectations, just relentless competition, and a market that forces you into these strategic positions.
Okay.
The sources have a great example. Think about an independent coffee shop in Seattle. They're not just adding up the cost of the beans.
No.
They're deciding, are we a $7 premium artisanal experience, or are we a $4 super fast high volume necessity? That one decision defines their entire brand before they even open the door.
Okay, let's unpack that then. We need to establish a baseline. Our research points to three foundational pillars for effective pricing, and these aren't just suggestions, they're mandates.
Right. The first one sounds simple, but it gets mishandled all the time. Cost coverage.
Non-negotiable.
Absolutely non-negotiable. You have to account for all of your expenses, not just the obvious direct costs like materials and labor.
But the whole web of indirect costs, right?
Yeah.
Rent, insurance, marketing.
Exactly. And especially those often overlooked, regulatory compliance fees, professional services, all of it. If you only price based on direct costs, you're literally subsidizing the customer's purchase with your own overhead.
And that second pillar connects right back to that Seattle coffee shop you mentioned, market positioning.
This is where the price stops being just a number.
And becomes a communication tool.
Yes. It signals quality, exclusivity, who you're for. And what's unique in the American market is that status element. For some segments, a higher price actually increases desire.
Because it signals success, superior quality.
It communicates value through scarcity, which leads us right to the third pillar. Profit generation. And we can't stress this enough. This has to be intentional.
Profit isn't just what's left over.
No, it's the fuel.
Yes.
It's essential for sustaining operations, for funding growth, whether that's new equipment or new hires, and for fairly compensating the owners.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you that cushion for volatility. If that margin is too thin, the first little hiccup can be fatal.
Okay, so that's the rational side, the math. But, you know, math doesn't always convince someone to buy a product. Now we have to get into the customer's brain, which is much less rational.
Yes.
Let's talk about the psychological factors in American consumer culture.
What really stands out in the studies is this deep-seated value consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And this is crucial. It doesn't mean cheapness.
Right.
It means consumers demand the perception of a fair exchange. If I'm buying a $500 product, I expect a $500 experience. If that perceived value isn't there, the sale just stops.
And those expectations are always rising, especially now that, you know, anyone can look up three different vendors in 30 seconds on their phone.
Oh, absolutely. The internet has turned everyone into an expert comparison shopper.
Yeah.
So if your price is 20% higher than a competitor's, you better have a clear, easy-to-see reason why. A better warranty, faster service, something to justify that premium. Otherwise, you fail the scrutiny test.
So how do you manage that scrutiny?
Well, a fascinating lever entrepreneurs use is price anchoring. This is where the first price a customer sees dictates all the later comparisons.
Like the MSRP, $1,500, our price, $999 tags.
Exactly. That $1,500 anchor sets a high baseline, so $999 feels like a huge bargain, even if that price already gives the seller a fantastic profit margin. You're manipulating the mental comparison.
And to wrap up the psychology part, let's just go back to that powerful idea of status and identity.
For sure. In certain sectors, luxury goods, high-end consulting, the premium price is the feature. It validates the buyer's success. You're not just selling a watch, you're selling a statement. And the price reinforces that statement.
This structure brings us right to the foundation framework. Before you can get strategic, you have to be meticulous with the numbers. You have to know where your floor is.
Exactly. Let's start with step one, comprehensive cost analysis. And we separate this into two buckets, variable costs and fixed costs.
Okay, and our sources gave a great example of a custom furniture maker in North Carolina. They track their variable costs religiously.
Right, things that rise and fall with every single unit.
Raw lumber, hardware, packaging, and the craftsperson's hourly wage for that specific piece. For them, it consistently came out to $430 per unit. Nice, clear number.
The real challenge, though, is accurately allocating the fixed costs.
This is the rent, the owner's salary, software subscriptions.
The stuff you pay no matter what. For that furniture business, it was $8,000 a month. They made 20 units. Okay, each piece has to absorb $400 of that overhead.
But what if it's a slow month and they only make 10?
Now each piece has to absorb $800, or they're losing money. Small businesses really struggle with this because their volume can be so unpredictable. But getting that allocation right is the difference between being truly profitable and just barely surviving.
That makes the calculation so critical. Once that cost floor is set, you can stop asking, can we survive? And start asking, how high can we aim? Which brings us to step two, determining your target profit margin.
The sources show a range of, say, 15 to 50% for most U.S. small businesses. But the decision depends on a few factors. Industry standards are huge.
Like a grocery store might be fine at 2 or 3% because of the volume?
Exactly. They turn inventory so fast. But a specialized consultant selling unique IP, they absolutely need something closer to 50%.
You also have to consider your business life cycle. A startup might accept a lower margin, say 15%, for a couple of years just to grab market share.
It's risky, but it can be strategic. But only if there's a clear path to higher margins later. You also have to factor in risk. Higher margins are your cushion against the unpredictable.
Like the supply chain chaos during the pandemic?
Precisely. Having a 35% margin versus a 15% one, that can literally be the difference between keeping your doors open and closing for good.
Okay, so this brings us to step three, calculating the minimum viable price. This is where the formula pulls it all together.
The formula is pretty straightforward, but it's foundational. It's price equals your combined costs. That's your variable plus fixed allocation divided by one minus your target profit margin.
Let's run the numbers for that furniture maker. Combined costs of $830, and let's say they want a 35% margin for growth and that safety cushion.
So you divide 830 by 0.65.
And that gets you to $1,277.
A base price of $1,277. And that's not some arbitrary number. That is the hard floor that ensures you cover all your costs and generate the exact profit you need. You can negotiate up from there, but never below.
This is where the strategy shifts from accounting to, well, market dominance. Once you have that base price, sticking with simple cost plus is easy, but moving to a value-based model, that's how you build real wealth.
Most businesses start with cost plus pricing. The Texas hardware store, in our sources, is a perfect example. $45 cost, standard 50% markup, sells for $67.50.
It's easy. It's consistent.
Right. But the critique is huge. It completely ignores what the customer actually values the item at. You could be leaving so much money on the table if that customer would have happily paid $90.
And that's why the really sophisticated businesses switch to value-based pricing. They totally disconnect price from their internal costs.
And focus entirely on the quantified benefit to the customer. It's so powerful when you can measure that benefit.
Like the software for restaurants example.
Oh, it's a perfect case. The software company might spend $5,000 to develop it, but the product reduces a restaurant's $2,000 of monthly food waste by 30%.
So it saves the customer $600 a month.
Exactly. So the software company can easily price their service at $200 a month. The customer saves $400. The company makes a phenomenal margin, all based on the value they deliver, not their own costs. That's the mindset shift.
Beyond those foundational models, you have the competitive variants. There's premium pricing, right? Sitting maybe 10 to 30% above your rivals.
To signal superiority. Huh. Then you have market rate, where you just match competitors and you have to differentiate on service or speed. And then there's discount pricing.
The race to the bottom.
It is. And it's only sustainable if you have massive structural cost advantages, like Walmart did. Otherwise, if you try to compete on price alone without those efficiencies, your margin just evaporates.
Okay, now for the really advanced tactics. Let's talk about dynamic pricing.
This is more than just airline tickets. It's about adjusting prices based on real-time stuff like inventory levels or time of day. Think of a local bakery. They've got 5 cakes left, 30 minutes to closing.
They could bump the price by 15% because that scarcity is driving demand.
Exactly. But you have to be transparent, especially in the U.S. market. You could surge price a rideshare in a storm, but you have to tell them why. High demand due to weather. Otherwise, it feels like price gouging.
And we can't forget those simple but really potent psychological tricks.
Charm pricing is the classic. $19.99 instead of $20. That left digit bias is so real. 19 just feels significantly cheaper than 20.
But if you're selling that status and identity, you do the opposite. You use prestige pricing.
Right. Nice round numbers. $100, $500, $1,000. It signals quality, simplicity, sophistication.
And finally, bundle pricing, the fast food value meal.
It's the prototype. It encourages a bigger total purchase by making the bundle feel like a deal, even if the savings are small. It's a great way to boost your average order value.
And to connect all these dots, we also see subscription pricing everywhere now, that good, better, best model for recurring revenue. And for a market as big as the U.S., geographic pricing is unavoidable.
It has to be. The cost of labor and rent in San Francisco versus rural Oklahoma is so different. You can't just apply one pricing formula and expect it to work everywhere. You have to adapt regionally.
All right, moving into optimization. The best businesses don't just pick a strategy and stick with it. They are constantly refining it with data. The easiest way is A/B testing.
Yeah, you just run concurrent campaigns. One customer segment sees a price of $49, then another sees $59, and then you measure the results.
But critically, you have to measure total revenue, not just the conversion rate.
That's the key. The $49 price might convert better, but the $59 price could bring in more total revenue. You have to do the math to see which one is actually superior for the business.
And when you're monitoring performance, there are some key benchmarks to aim for. A healthy gross margin is usually in that 40 to 60% range.
And your overall net profit margin should be aiming for 10 to 20%. They also track more complex things like price elasticity.
Which is just measuring customer sensitivity to price changes.
Right. If you raise your price 10% and demand drops more than 10%, you know your customers are highly sensitive. You can test this just by running small controlled price changes and watching the revenue impact.
Okay. Now for the traps. What are the biggest mistakes new entrepreneurs fall into?
Oh, number one, without a doubt, is underpricing. It's an emotional mistake. Owners are terrified of hearing the word no, so they price based on fear.
And that attracts the wrong customers.
The worst customers. Low loyalty, they'll leave for a cheaper option in a heartbeat. It kills your margin, and it sends this negative signal about your quality. You have to price with confidence.
Mistake number two, static pricing. Just setting it and forgetting it.
Yes. Inflation is real. Supplier costs go up. The market changes. If you are not reviewing your prices at least quarterly, I guarantee you are losing margin and missing opportunities.
And the last one is the ultimate self-sabotage, competing on price alone.
The minute you define yourself as the cheapest, you're in that race to the bottom. And you can't win unless you have some massive structural advantage. For most small businesses, differentiation on quality or service is the only sustainable path.
And before we close out, a quick but necessary note on compliance.
Right. If you're in B2B in the U.S., you have to know about price discrimination laws.
Right.
The Robinson-Patman Act. Basically, you can't give huge preferential discounts to competing customers if it hurts competition.
And the FTC is very strict on deceptive pricing. No fake former prices or bait and switch tactics.
So what does this all really mean for you? The core message is, I think, very clear. Pricing is the most powerful lever you have as a small business owner. It offers the most immediate impact on your profitability.
It's not a static calculation you do once. It has to be this ongoing iterative process. It's driven by data, market perception, and real psychological insight. You have to balance your true costs, your target margins, and the value you deliver.
And for your final thought to chew on, your pricing strategy, ultimately, it reflects your business's financial sophistication. It reflects how much you actually believe in your own value proposition. So if you're struggling with profitability or attracting the wrong clients, ask yourself, what unspoken message is my current price sending to my ideal customer?
Go back to your numbers. Get the strategy right. Until next time.